This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
Hallelujah. And because you reign, oh God, we bow before you now in prayer. We bow before you simply worshiping you and adoring you, oh God, because you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Your name is worthy to be lifted up. God, and if we were honest, we would have to tell you the truth that there are so many things that compete for our attention, compete for our time, compete for our affection. There are so many things in the world calling out to us saying, worship me, put your trust in me, believe in me. But Lord God, you reign. You reign. And so we bow before you this day, giving you the honor that's due your name, giving you the glory that is due your name, because you are God and God alone. Thank you, Lord, for being God. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to be your people. Thank you, Lord, for choosing to love us with an everlasting love, your word says. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, we just pray your blessings on this day. We pray your blessings on this worship experience, that it brings honor and glory to your name. We pray that this worship isn't just a ritual or a routine, but that it reroutes somebody's life today, that it points somebody to the light of Christ this day. Use us in that way, oh God. Use us to be your light in this world. God, we pray for all of those that are sick and shut in. God, we pray for all of those that are sick in their mind, in their body, in their spirit. God, we pray for all of those who are grieving. God, we pray for all of those that are lonely this day, that could benefit, that could be blessed by the wonders of a faith community, oh God. Open the doors of your church to them by opening the hearts of your people to them. Show us who you're sending us to this day, who you would have us to serve this day in your holy name. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. And all who agree said amen, 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 amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Ready to be young, 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 ready to be young The Bible says, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now let's join Reverend Eleanor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Amen. Friends, I invite you to remain standing if you're able to hear this story about a miracle worker. It comes from John, the second chapter, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. John, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11. And the Bible says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jugs, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each of them holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. And he did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And then he called the bridegroom and he said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs that revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Our topic today, expect a miracle. Friends, from the parting of the Red Sea to the healing of those who had leprosy, the Bible is full of miracles. Some of them impacted the whole community. Some of them were just significant for that one soul whose life was changed, who could then be restored to community, maybe because their mind was healed, the shame, the burden had been lifted. Miracles still happen, church. From the manna and quail that fell in the wilderness to the way Jesus upgraded this wedding party, the Bible is full of miracles. Some of them were dramatic, the sky cracking open, bushes on fire. Others simply broke open hearts, broke open a heart and set a person on fire for the glory of God. I stopped by to tell you that miracles still happen. I'm not sure what you need today. If it's a life-changing, situation-altering, you'll never be the same type of miracle. Or maybe you just need some everyday provision to get you from this week to next week. Maybe you just need the everyday from our God who's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Maybe you need a fresh start from our God whose mercies are new every morning. Whatever it is you need, the good news is that we can expect a miracle. As we celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. this weekend, we can hear his "I Have a Dream" speech. We can hear all of his speeches as a miracle manifesto. That expectation of freedom, that freedom would ring out in a country that had grown and prospered by enslaving other people, to expect freedom to ring would take nothing short of a miracle. The notion that there could be equality and equal sharing of all things when some folks were used to sharing nothing, that expectation of equality takes miracles to manifest. We celebrate his impact and his inspiration more than 50 years after his death, not because he accepted the status quo, not because he threw up his hands and said, "Well, it is what it is," but we celebrate because he expected a miracle. Some sky crack open, corrupt systems crumble, justice roll down like mighty waters. He expected those kinds of miracles, and he expected some hearts to break open, because he would say, what? You cannot legislate people's hearts. We can write these laws, but it takes a change of heart to change people. Friends, miracles still happen. Now, you might not be called to change the world like MLK, but still, you might need some change in your world. And our text reminds us that anything is possible in the presence of the Lord. Now, the text started, it said, on the third day, there was a wedding. You know, your pastor's curious, so I got to wondering, well, what happened on the other 2 days that John felt it necessary to tell us that the wedding was on the third day? Friends, the moment before the miracle takes place in John 1, John has been declaring that in the beginning was the Word. He's told us that the Word was made flesh and came to live among us. John said that everything that was made, everything that would ever be, came through the Word. And so that's the first lesson for those of us who expect a miracle this year. Everything comes through the Word, including our miracles. Friends, in 2022, our knowledge of Scripture is going to have to go beyond "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." If we're really going to do all things through Christ, our miracle, John tells us, starts with the Word. I wonder if we can open our Bible apps in the morning before we open IG. I wonder if we could read just two verses while you're waiting in the drive-thru. Just start small. I wonder, could this be the year that we really become Bible readers? We really become Bible believers? Think about it. We had to study. It was a million moons ago, but we had to study so many things to learn language, right? It started with alphabet, simple little ABCs, but you had to learn them. We had to get that foundation or we would never be able to communicate. Just this week, a friend of mine was making flashcards to help her son learn some sight words to improve his reading. And as I was preparing this word, I heard the Lord say, the whole Bible is sight words. The whole Bible is sight words. The Bible is 66 books of sight words for you. The Bible is an Old and a New Testament of sight words so that you might learn them and recognize what I'm doing in the world. When you study those sight words, then you'll learn to recognize and receive a miracle. Friends, what if knowing the Word of God is what's standing between you and your miracle? What if the Word is what's standing between you and your peace, your abundance, your overflow, your provision? What if knowing God's Word is the one thing that's standing between you and God's grace? Friends, on the third day, they experienced a miracle, but on the first day, in the beginning, they got to know the Word. Amen. My friend started telling me about her process. So when she said flashcards, I just thought she writes the word, hold it up, he says dog. She said the way she works it out, she writes the word at the top of the page. He has to write the word several times beneath. He has to say the word. He has to make up two sentences with the word in it. And then he has to spell the word. Friends, I wonder what your process is for learning God's word. Now, if we had some honest people in here, some folks would tell me, Pastor, I struggle with reading the Bible. No one ever taught me how to read the Bible. Someone would say, all those names, all those lists, I just can't never get through that. Somebody would say, I don't even know where to start in the Bible to make what I'm reading from way back then relevant to my life right now. If we told the truth, somebody would say that. And so I wonder what it would look like for you to adopt this process of learning some spiritual sight words. What if you wrote and rewrote the word of God? I know people who keep notebooks or who keep journals where they copy scripture. Maybe you're never gonna, you know, use a pen and paper again, but maybe you write it by putting it on your Facebook feed or your Instagram feed. Maybe you write it by texting it in the group chat to your family. I have a cousin who writes the word like that every day of the week. And so that might be what it looks like for you to write and copy that word of God. What would it look like if you began to use it in a sentence, meaning you were witnessing to somebody else, telling someone else how good God is? What if you took that scripture and used it in a sentence, declaring that word of God over your own life? What if we didn't just read it and forget it, but we started using it in a sentence for ourselves? And last but not least, what if we learned how to spell it? Now, I don't mean just saying he is a W-A-Y-M-A-K-E-R. That's not what I mean. What if you learned to spell it out by asking the question, what does it mean for God to be a waymaker in my life? What does it mean? What would it look like for God to work a miracle in my life? That's what I believe spelling it out looks like for us. On the third day, they experienced a miracle, but on the first day, in the beginning, they got to know the word. Friends, the next day, John pointed Jesus out as the Messiah, and the disciples started to follow him even before he invited them to come. Even before he called them, they were curious about Jesus. They just stepped up to this stranger and said, where are you staying? What are you doing while you're around here? And Jesus invited them to come. Church, I wonder if we have gotten so comfortable with Christ that we have forgotten to be curious. Are we so comfortable that we've lost our curiosity about what Christ is doing in the world? I wonder if we've come to church so many years that we already know how this gonna go. We already know who's gonna serve and who ain't. We already know who's gonna shout and who never will. We already know who will give, and we already know who will live a life like John that points others to Christ. We already know how this goes, so Christ can't even surprise us anymore. I wonder what would happen if we got curious about Christ again. What kind of miracles could we expect if we started to question Christ like the disciples did? Lord, where are you staying? Where's your spirit resting in this season, God? What you doing in Bryan College Station, God? What are you doing at First Church, Lord? And can I come hang out with you, Jesus? Friends, those of us who expect a miracle have to get curious again. We have to be open to being surprised by the Savior. Friends, on the third day, the disciples experienced a miracle. But the day before that, they got curious about Christ. And the day before that, they got reacquainted with the word. And somehow their curiosity got them close enough that they could hear Christ calling them. That's what Jesus does at the end of John 1. Christ begins to invite them to follow one by one. And you know, there's always one. There's always one that needs convincing, always one that's not so sure, one that needs a little push to really pursue the purposes of God. And so Jesus begins to prove himself to be the Son of God by declaring who the disciple was. That's verse 47. Friends, I don't know. It might just be me. I don't know if God has ever had to tell you about yourself. Amen, somebody. Yes, I see your sin, little girl, and I still want you to serve. Yes, sir, someone else could do it, but I'm calling you. If you're expecting a miracle this year, I believe you can get ready for God to tell you a little something about yourself. Amen. And the good news is that despite ourselves, in spite of who we are, God is still who God is. And we're still invited to follow, still invited to experience the miracles that follow. So Christ says to us and to that doubting disciple, he says to us and to that unsure servant in verse 51, "Very truly I tell you, you shall see the heavens open up." You're going to see the kind of miracle you've been expecting to see. You will see the heavens open up and you will see the angels of God ascending and descending, coming up and down, resting on the Son of God. It wasn't until the third day that they experienced the miracle. But the text shows us that it's time for a miracle when Jesus starts to invite the people of God to do the work of God. Jesus sets the stage for this miracle in the days before as he began to promise them that greater things are coming. As today he might tell us, "I know 2020 was a whole mess. And honestly, I know 2021 was just as bad. And I see that 2022 already got you shook. But don't give up. The third day is coming. Don't give up. You can expect a miracle. You can believe that greater is waiting, that God has greater for you." Somebody say, "God has greater." The promise of greater, church, is the whole reason that Christ came in the first place. Jesus said to us, "What? The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly, so that you might have life and have it to the full." And this promise of full life is the reason his mother could call on him and say, "They are out of wine." Mary knew that if the Savior of the world was near, we shouldn't be struggling. We shouldn't be lacking. If Jesus was near, we shouldn't be empty. We ought to be full. Not when we could just turn to the Lord. So I can hear Mary saying, "Now, son, these empty cups ain't gonna cut it." Not if you came so that we might be full. Now, let's be clear. Mary didn't actually ask Jesus to do anything. Her statement, her implied request assumes that Jesus simply cares, that he's concerned about our needs. Now, we'll come back later to talk about why more wine is actually a need, because somebody else might not think so. Mary understood what Peter would later write, "Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you." She knew that calling Christ's attention to the concern was enough. Somebody needs to know that today, that simply calling Christ's attention to the concern, you ain't got to tell him everything to do. You don't have to tell him how you'd like for him to make a way, but simply calling Christ's attention to the concern is enough. Now, there are some days when you're going to do that. You're going to pray without ceasing. You're going to wear out the carpet on your floor. Your tears will never stop flowing like Hannah. And then there are other days that you're just going to say what you need to say. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. But either way, if we expect a miracle, we must call Christ's attention to the concern. Kind of like blind Bartimaeus who cried out in the streets, "Jesus, Son of David, I can't see you, but I know you're around here somewhere." Like that last song we said, he's here. He knew he was in the atmosphere. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." We might be loud like that, or you might move in silence like the woman with the issue of blood who just slipped up and touched the hem of his garment. Either way, we've got to call Christ's attention to the concern. Now, friends, before we get to the good news, before we get to the miracle working, I got to warn you that Jesus might not always answer the way we expect. Mary probably didn't get the answer that she expected. Jesus said, it's not my time yet. What you talking? Why are you telling me, mama? It's not my time yet. Mary didn't get into a debate with Jesus about when his time would be. She fell back on some old, you know, mama 101 type stuff. "Because I said so." Maybe she didn't say that. Maybe she just gave him a look. Because she didn't say anything else to him. She probably just gave him that mama look. And then she turned to the servants and began to talk to them. She didn't have to say anything else because she assumed her son would respond. Church, I wonder what we assume about Christ. What do we pray for? How do we pray? Are we praying? Are we asking big like we preached last year? Are we praying bold, audacious prayers? Or are we still on some small, scared prayers? I believe what we pray and how we pray is based on what we believe about God's relationship to us. Do we believe that we are God's beloved and that that's really enough? Do we believe that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room to receive? Not blessings, the word says a blessing, just one blessing from God will be more than enough. Do we believe that? Do we believe that our miracle working God wants to work a miracle for us too? That as older folks used to say, God's no respecter of persons. What he did for you, he'll do for me. So do we believe that God still wants to do a miracle? Or do we believe that a delay is always a denial? Do we trust like Mary? Are we able to do whatever he tells us? That's what she instructed the servants. Do whatever he tells you. Friends, I've told you before that one of the songs that God used to call me into ministry was Yes by Shekinah Glory. And a part of that song simply says, if I told you what I really need, if I told you what I require of you, would your heart and soul say yes? Friends, I wonder, are we able to do whatever he tells us as Mary instructed the servants? Because what if they put the water in different vessels, not the ones he directed them to use? What if they only partially filled them up because 30 gallons is heavy and they ain't feel like packing all of that? What if they poured the water but didn't take it to the head of the banquet like he instructed them? Would the miracle have still happened? I don't know. But what I do know is if we were honest, we'd have to confess that sometimes you and sometimes you and I skip some steps when Jesus gives us instructions. Sometimes we skip some steps when it comes to our discipleships. We heard what the Lord said, but that sounds like too much. We heard what the Lord said, but that's a little hard. We heard what God said, but in this season, I don't feel called to that. Amen. So we do only part of what God has called and commanded us to do. We do half of what God asks, and we still expect a whole miracle. We do half of what God has asked us and still expect a whole miracle. Now let's talk about it for a second. What's half a healing in your life? What's half a healing? What's half a breakthrough gonna do for you today? What if 2022 was the year that we gave God our whole hearts, the year we gave our most devoted discipleship, our utmost for his highest? What if this was the year that we did whatever God told us to do so that we could expect and experience a miracle? And what is it the Lord needs of us in order to work miracles in our lives? Hebrews says it this way, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in his sight. This text from John 2 tells us that they used stone vessels, not the good dishes. That means you ain't got to be so pure and so perfect for God to work with you in 2022. They used the vessels that were used for purification, that they used to wash their hands and their dirty feet when they arrived after a journey. They used the vessels that were made to handle some dirt. Amen. New wine was created in these objects for everyday use. And so I can hear them crying out like Tasha and the choir saying, I'm a vessel ready to be used by you. Friends, we got to start using what we have. Amen. Stop making the miracle conditional. Stop making it conditional. Lord, if I was more of this, then I would that. Lord, if they would do this, then I would do that. God, if we were more than may, Sometimes we miss the miracle because we're expecting the burning bush or the broken open sky. What if we miss it because it's not looking how we expect it to look? Church, stop making the miracle conditional. Can we trust that if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation, as we heard last week? Can we trust that as a new creation, we're capable of new possibilities, new manifestations of God's glory? Can we really believe that new creation means new life? It means new miracles. Someone say, it's time for a miracle. Church, when it's time for a miracle, we will come before the Lord full. This text tells us that they filled those containers to the brim with water. They drew it out and took it to the steward to taste, and it had become wine. I have to wonder, what are we becoming today in the presence of the Lord? What are we becoming? Now, I know a lot of people say that you come to church to be filled up for the week. But what if we come not just to be topped off in Jesus' name? What if we come to be transformed? What if we come into this place to leave different than when we came through those doors? What if it's not just a ritual, a routine thing, something we had to show up to do? What if we came in here and left different, left vessels ready to be used? Friends, if we come and leave empty, if we skip this step of filling up, what can Christ draw out of us? What are we bringing today before God to bless and to change? The good news is we're not empty like those vessels. We are equipped. One of your key verses on your bulletin from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, reminds us that we're equipped. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We are not empty. We are equipped. But the question is, are we ready? Are we ready to do whatever he tells us with the gifts that God has given us? Are we ready in 2022 to walk by faith and not by sight? Are we ready to take care of God's house so that God might take care of our house? Are we ready to give more than half when we expect a whole miracle? Are you ready? Three people, are you ready? Are we ready today? I wonder, friends, are we content with having water when we could have wine? In other words, are you content to bear all your own burdens when you could take them to the Lord and leave them there? Are we content just getting by when we could have the heavens open up and rain down blessings on our behalf? Back to the question, water versus wine. Why did they need that? Friends, we need to know that in the biblical context, somebody, on the day you had a daughter, you would start storing up gallons of wine for her wedding day. It'd already be 5 years worth of wine in your house, Miss Crystal. You would already be getting ready for the day that the daughter is married. You start saving from birth, so to run out of wine at the wedding, after 21 years of saving, Brad, to run out of wine at the wedding is shameful. Amen. It's shameful. It says that you have not been good stewards of what God has given you. You have not prepared for the blessings that God would bring in your life. It is an embarrassment, shame for you to run out of wine at a wedding. And so for Christ to provide in a situation like this, it's an expression of grace. Can you think of another table where wine represents the grace of God? This text isn't just about if you drink or don't drink, if they should have had wine or shouldn't have had wine. This is about another table that's coming, where wine represents the grace and God, where all our shame is covered by God's grace. The Bible says that what Jesus did at the table that day was the first of many signs. Church, it was the first, so we can believe that it was not the last. If it was, the text would have said it was the only sign he ever offered. But it says it was the first, so that we can still believe, we can still expect miracles, signs, and wonders. This first miracle on this third day is the sign of the salvation to come. This first miracle on the third day points us to the cross where Jesus paid it all. This third day miracle reminds us of another time when we would get to know. We would experience the miracle on day three, but 2 days before that, we would get to know the word of God one Friday. We would see what it would mean to be God in flesh, living and dying for us, when Jesus would invite us to follow him to a cross where he hung, bled, and died. We're getting ready to experience a resurrection miracle on day three, but the day before that, we get to get curious about Christ while he lay sleeping in his grave. What did he mean he's going to rebuild the temple? What does it look like for us to follow him now if he's dead? This third day wedding miracle reminds us of another third day when Jesus got up with all power in his hands, when Jesus defeated sin and death. This miracle reminds us that this ain't the last time that Christ is gonna pick up the tab for us. This is not the last time that Christ would pay a debt that we could not afford to pay. This first miracle on this third day is also a sign of God's generosity. There were 6 stone jars. The scripture tells us each held 20 to 30 gallons. That's simple math, almost 200 gallons of wine. Somebody would say, Jesus, it don't take all that. They probably just needed like 5-6 more bottles. 200 gallons of wine. Next time you in the water aisle, surrounded on both sides by that water, just imagine all that turning into whatever your drink of choice is. Imagine all of that turning into whatever it is you need, the answer to your deepest prayers, in the blink of an eye, simply because you expect a miracle. This first miracle testifies before Christ even tells us in John 10:10. It says, I have not come so that you could barely get by. I have not come so that you could struggle under burdens I would gladly bear. I have not come so that you could be crushed by the weight of your problems, but so that you might see the heavens open up, see angels coming down and going up just to bless you. I've not come so that this year could look just like last year. Jesus is saying today, I've not come just so you could give up in the first month of 2022, but I have come so that you could have life and have it more abundantly, so that you would have life and have it to the full, so that you could experience the extravagant love of God for real, so that you could see mountains move in your life this year. Not someday, but maybe even this week, if we really expect that miracle. Christ says, I have come so that you might know me as a miracle worker, as a way maker, as a promise keeper. Yeah. Friends, it might not be wine that you've run out of in your home or in your life. Maybe in your house, somebody's run out of patience. Amen. Maybe we've run out of tenderness with one another, compassion for our neighbors. Maybe somebody's run out of the ability to dream impossible dreams. It might be unconditional love that you lack in your life. Whatever it is you stand in need of, I stop by to tell you that grace is sufficient. And God is pouring out grace by the gallon. pouring out grace by the gallon. Whatever it is you need, Jesus is working it out for you this day. But we got some work to do too. We might experience a third day miracle, but what happens on the other days? We got to get reacquainted with the Word of God. We got to get curious about Christ again. We have to be open to be surprised by the Spirit, because God is pouring out grace by the gallon. Do whatever He tells you. Do whatever He tells you and expect a miracle. Do all of what He tells you this year. Don't do half of what He asks and look for your whole miracle. Do whatever God tells you to do and expect a miracle. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.